All right, welcome back. We thank Coach Brad for joining us tonight, talking a little basketball, and we're going to change the subject. Our friend of the program, Vern Inge, lawyer with LeClaire Ryan, who's also the LeClaire Ryan, a sponsor of the program, obviously. Vern has a lot of – he's a sports lawyer, has a lot of knowledge about legal matters that relate to college and professional sports. So we got some questions for Mr. Inge related to North Carolina and other issues, don't we, Frank?
We sure do. Vern, welcome to 2017, and who's talking?
Happy New Year, guys. Happy to be here.
You know, this whole thing is almost too much to believe. Believe it or not, back on November the 28th, the NCAA issued their third notice of amended allegations, and that was on November 28th. North Carolina finally announced that it had gotten them and responded mid-December. And anyway, as nearly as I can tell, this was a giant setback for North Carolina and everyone that loves North Carolina, because all of a sudden football and basketball have been brought back into the equation, and lack of institutional control has been restated more firmly. What are your thoughts, and where does this thing go from here?
Well, this is about the craziest thing we've ever seen in an NCAA investigation. So this is a problem that started in the 90s. It was 1998, apparently, when this African-American Studies Department that had sham classes was started by UNC, which they've freely admitted and acknowledged. In 2012, it was discovered, and the NCAA issued its first notice, and then and that included football and men's basketball. Oddly enough, right before the national championship game in basketball this year, Roy Williams announced that, made some comment at a press conference when asked about it, that you can't punish a program that wasn't involved. And of course, there's no question men's basketball was involved. But shortly after the national championship game, the NCAA came out with its second notice of violation and did not mention, specifically removed reference to men's basketball and football at UNC, which just shows that the power of those programs was able to influence the NCAA staff. And then something really interesting apparently happened, and this is according to the Raleigh News and Observer, but what happened was in August, UNC responded to these allegations, and in it, they attacked the NCAA's very jurisdiction to control these things, claiming it wasn't an athletics issue, it was an academics issue, and the NCAA doesn't control academics. And then went on to say also the NCAA's known about all this stuff since 2012. It's now 2016, so they can't do anything about it. And so apparently that they presented those procedural issues to the Committee on Infractions at the NCAA, and a hearing was held. And the Committee on Infractions was very angry with its staff, the NCAA staff. And then in the report that came out of the Committee on Infractions, they really hammered the staff and UNC. And so that's resulted in this third notice of allegations that has gone back to include football and men's basketball. So it is what you should expect. Apparently there's no dispute that many football players and men's basketball players were involved in these fake classes that went on, but somehow UNC's escaped any problem, any official action by the NCAA, has been fighting it, and finally it looks like they really angered the NCAA, UNC did, by flaunting its jurisdiction, and so now the Committee on Infractions has come down very hard on its staff that seemed to be going easy on UNC, or maybe was scared of UNC. But whatever's happened, it appears the NCAA is on the track now to sanction UNC for these fake classes. So we'll see what happens.
So, Vern, what's the timetable from here? How long is this going to take?
Well, this stuff started in 1998, and they found out about it in 2012. It's now 2017, so it's hard to guess. But the NCAA can take its time, but I suspect that within the next 6 months, maybe a year, it will announce sanctions. But this is really unprecedented. Honestly, guys, almost all the time when a school gets in trouble, it self-sanctions, like Louisville did with the hookers scandal, and many other schools have. They ban themselves from postseason play, do things like that, and hope that's enough for the NCAA. Usually it goes away. In this case, UNC seems to be fighting hair and tooth with the NCAA, and so there's no way to tell how long it'll take, or frankly, once sanctions are handed down, I think we can expect the NCAA to challenge them, UNC to challenge the NCAA in court. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens from here.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Vern. If you read through all the websites and all the reports in all the different publications, essentially Carolina attempted to overpower the NCAA, and that got their dander up, so to speak.
Yeah.
And the NCAA now rejects UNC's procedural claims. And despite the fact that Carolina has conducted something like five internal investigations, and one led by Kenneth Weinstein, supposedly, what's the terminology I'm looking for?
That was a UNC-sponsored investigation, but it was supposedly independent.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Weinstein reported that, there was a lack of oversight and this, that, and the other. But what it all boils down to is that Carolina claims on their websites that they've made 70 procedural changes to the academic curriculum and the athletic department's interaction with the athletic curriculum, yet they chose not to self-sanction. If Carolina had chosen to self-sanction, this whole thing might have been over by now.
That's right. It probably would be over by now.
And anybody that thinks that you can somehow squeeze 1,800 athletes through a program like that out of a total of 3,100 and then claim that there was no academic advantages for those athletes which helped keep them eligible to stay on the field is crazy. And I just don't understand what they think they're doing, because they're postponing the hangman.
That's right. I think they genuinely believe that they can avoid the hangman. But it looks like, and it, frankly, there's been some suggestion they would have if they had not made the procedural challenges that they did. If the second notice of allegations had gone on through, it would have been a slap on the wrist for UNC. It would not have involved lack of institutional control or the men's basketball or football programs. But now, of course, because of procedural challenges, that's all back on the table. So they may have walked into the buzzsaw when they should have probably let it slide through on just the second notice of allegations. But we'll see what happens. It'll be very interesting.
All right, let's pivot.
All right.
Habo likes to pivot all the time.
Sometimes I dragged that pivot foot. That was a problem.
Yeah. Referee blew the whistle. So ACC football, turning pro or not. Now, this is a subject that I think you very much enjoy analyzing and studying.
Right.
The following players have announced that they are leaving for the NFL from the ACC. James Conner and Dalvin Cook, those are two outstanding running backs. Conner from Pittsburgh, Dalvin Cook from Florida State, and then running back Wayne Gallman of Clemson. So three of the top running backs in the East and South are headed for the pros. Tight end Bucky Hodges, safety Josh Jones of NC State, defensive tackle Nazir Jones from UNC, and on and on. And three other players from Clemson, Artavis Scott, Deshaun Watson, the quarterback, and Mike Williams, the wide receiver. And it's expected that Brad Kaya of Miami and Mitch Trubisky, the two quarterbacks from Miami and North Carolina, respectively, that they are expected to declare. And at the same time, a good 16, 17 players who were considered and thinking about it and all that have decided to stay in school. Give us your oversight on this sort of situation and what propels a kid to leave school early. And
money.
That's right, Jim,
please don't do that.
Habo is right, of course. It's very interesting, the process that they go through. So the NFL, or the NCAA really, it controls what happens here. A player may not hire an agent and remain eligible to play NCAA sports. So they can't hire an agent, but they can hire what's called a contract advisor or a person to help them decide whether or not to go pro. Not surprisingly, those are the same people as agents, but they have a different title, oddly enough. You know, it's a little joke or game that they play with the NCAA, but the NCAA allows it. So the agents will go out and assess the market for the player and help the player decide how much money they're going to make and whether it's in their best interest to stay in school or to come out. And obviously then it becomes a player and family decision. And if you're going to be a top player and you're going to go high in the draft, and you've got a big risk, obviously, of getting injured your senior year or whatever, maybe your fifth year, you come back, most players that are going to go high in the draft decide that they're going to go ahead and declare. Now, if they get word that they're going to go later in the draft or not be drafted at all, that's when the decision becomes tougher, because you got to talk with your family and decide and look at, for example, am I going to make it in school? Do I want to spend another year playing? If you're, at a program that's not doing so well, you've got a tougher decision to make. And unfortunately, the Virginia players, have to look at that and say, well, we haven't done so well. Does that mean my draft status is going to be impacted because I haven't been on a great team? Or if I come back next year and we don't have such a great performance, is it going to be even worse? Because some NFL team, just like some college coaches, look for winners. They're not necessarily looking for the best athlete, but sometimes they want kids that are on teams that win because they believe that's contagious. And there may be something to that. But long and short of it is all those things have to be considered. It's very complex. And, of course, you're relying on expertise of people who are conflicted, obviously. Those people that are telling you whether to go or not, are giving you advice, probably are going to be your agent and would like to make their 3% on your first big contract.
That's right. They have a vested interest.
Conflict. It's a very interesting decision that all these players have. And I'm interested in the list that's going and staying. A lot of interesting decisions made there.
Well, for the University of Virginia, Quinn Blanding at safety and linebacker Micah Kaiser staying, that was huge news for Bronco Mendenhall.
Absolutely.
I mean, it would have been very easy for both those players to have moved on. Now, people have to understand that there's nothing guaranteed about declaring for the draft.
Right.
In fact, it's a crapshoot. And most of the players, they don't make it. It doesn't matter if they go early or not. And when I asked the question at the beginning about, what's the value and you're rolling the dice. I mean, go ahead and get your degree. I mean, almost never does it make sense for a kid to leave early. Almost never. I mean, it's just, unless a guy has just put up epic numbers and gotten a title or something, it just...
Well, but you have the Anthony Poindexter example that comes up once in a while, the kid that comes back and gets a severe injury, particularly in football.
Well, and for Anthony Poindexter, it turned out pretty good anyway.
Well, he became a coach, and he was rewarded for his loyalty,
Hold on, he got 2 years in the NFL, he still got a contract, he still got the experience. Was he the same guy? No. But he could have gotten hurt the first week of camp in the NFL. So... You know how that whole thing works.
Well, football's a crapshoot in that regard, period.
All right, we got 2 minutes real quick, Vern. And we were speaking with Vern Inge of LeClaire Ryan. Vern, talk to us a little bit about the catastrophe down at Wake Forest and what a scandal this. The color analyst for the radio programming was sharing inside information about the football game plans of his alma mater to schools like Louisville and Virginia Tech and many others.
Isn't that great? And of course, apparently the ACC can only fine a maximum of $25,000 for receiving information. So as Hobbo said at the beginning of the show, that is a little slap on the wrist. And so it makes you wonder why all the programs didn't buy the information. But it's just, obviously a huge ethical scandal. It's, Virginia Tech and Louisville, who knows who it was offered to, but coaches there decided to, whether there was money exchanged or what hasn't been uncovered yet, but it's fascinating and obviously a cheating scandal. And really interesting now it's going to leave coaches when they come in with the decision of, okay, I'm going to bring in my assistants. It's what happened here. This guy was an assistant coach. Was terminated as assistant coach when Clawson came in and brought his coaches with him, but he moved into another status with the program as the voice of the Deacons, and ended up selling information because apparently he was mad with the football team for terminating him as a coach. So
yeah, there is a loyalty factor there because, you know, I mean, as the radio analyst for 12 years, I mean, I had access to coaches. You know, I saw the shoot-arounds before games and all that kind of stuff, so you have information. But
right.
most of the guys that are in that capacity are intensely loyal to the school, which obviously I was.
And you would have thought that Elrod, which is his name, I believe it was Tommy Elrod.
Well, he obviously was really upset with Clausen for not giving him a gig.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, and it, what's interesting is he probably got a pay raise, right, and moving into the radio gig.
He might have.
Because the assistant coach, it certainly wasn't a big pay cut. The assistant coaches, you know, don't typically make a whole lot of money. And so it's very interesting, but obviously he was angry, and who knows, maybe he had a financial need and made some money off of it too. You never know when people get in financial trouble. But sort of another fascinating turn that you see in college football. So
crazy, crazy. All right, listen, we thank you so much for your visit tonight and sharing your insights, and we wish you the best of luck in the new year. And we're going to head on to break here. Thank you, Vern Inge.
Thank you, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Vern.
All right, we'll come back on the other side. We'll talk Olympic sports with our man, Darren Fronta. Stay with us. Who's talking?